Biggs. Biggs Time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs Time.
The Biggs Report. With Brad Biggs.
Biggs Time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs. Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Good morning. Welcome in. Along with Ruthie Polinsky, I am Mark Rohde. We are in for Mully and Haw. We ran out of guys named Mully and Haw, so we are in today.
Are you Mully or Haw?
I guess I'm Mully, since I'm sitting in the driver's chair right now.
Okay.
So you're Haw.
Okay.
And we are here with you until 10 o'clock this morning on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We also welcome in our friends on Chicago Sportsnet, and we also welcome in, just because Mully is not here, that does not mean that Brad Biggs is not a valued friend and a valued customer on this show. And guests are brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Biggsy, what's going on, man?
Morning, gang. What's going on?
Oh, you changed it up a little bit.
Morning, gang.
Morning, boys, to good morning,
yeah,
gang.
Yeah, morning, gang. That's okay.
Yeah. Well,
I could be a boy today if you
okay.
need me to.
All right. Whatever you need. We're trying to figure it out here, Brad. You just heard Dustin in his update talking about the injuries along the offensive line. We are trying to patch together what it might look like on Sunday, and all it led to basically was me and Ruthie just sort of listing guys and trying to figure out where they might fit in. What is your feel for this offensive line this week, and how much trouble could they be in if they're missing one or, God forbid, both of their tackles? Because neither Darnell Wright nor Braxton Jones practiced yesterday.
Yeah, well, that would be problematic, but the Patriots defense hasn't done a great job of rushing the passer. Neither had the Cardinals defense before. They played them a little different that they'll be at home this week and not on the road. But I think the situation with the offensive tackles is they're fortunate that it isn't going to be anything long-term with either one, I don't believe. If one of the two has a better chance of playing on Sunday, my guess is it's Darnell Wright, the right tackle. And if they can get one of them out there, I think they stick with what they did last week, and they have Larry Borum fill in. And so Larry would replace Braxton, who might need one more week for his knee issue. And the pass protection against Arizona, while not great, it was all right in the first half of that game. And I think the Cardinals got a beat on what the Bears were trying to do. And then obviously Darnell got hurt, and it was Katie bar the door. So if Darnell Wright can play, I got a feeling they'll be okay, but I don't know if he'll be available yet. If Darnell Wright cannot play, if they've got to replace two tackles, I think you'll see Larry at one of the spots. I would imagine, although they talked about not wanting to make more moves than necessary, I think you see Matt Pryor go from right guard to the outside, and then you've got to fill in the right guard. So that's either going to be Nate Davis or potentially Ryan Bates is activated from IR. He's practicing again this week, and they plug Bates in at right guard. And if I had to guess there, I guess I would guess Ryan Bates because Nate's fallen quite a bit out of favor for good reason.
Speaking of some injuries, I mean, we were talking about just how big the loss is of Andrew Billings and, you know, how he's kind of been this anchor of this defense, not just in the run game, but really, I think, made more of an impact in the pass rush as well. What do you make of just how they fill that void and who kind of needs to step up here, Biggsy?
Yeah, the Billings thing, that's really tough, and most people are pretty good about not trying to judge defensive tackles, especially nose tackles, by statistics, and that's going to be real tough to fill. Javon Dexter is going to need to be better against the run. It's going to have to be more stout, and then they're going to need a collection of guys to step in. Byron Cowart, who Has gotten some run inside there. Zach Pickens is going to have an opportunity. Chris Williams is more of a smaller three technique. His playing time's probably got to bounce up a little bit. Is it possible at some point they bring someone in? I guess that's an option too, but they're going to have to collectively be better as a defense playing the run, because missing him is going to hurt. And then they have struggled stopping the run the last 2 weeks, with Arizona popping them for over 200 yards, and Washington had, I think it was a 168 the week prior. That 168 is a little deceptive. The Commanders had a very long run on the final play of the first half, which was, you know, one of those, instead of throwing a Hail Mary, they kind of ran the ball. The guy, I think it was Eckler, got 30 yards or so. So that's really shouldn't count in there, because they were preventing the deep pass in that situation. But the run defense has been leaky, and it's going to be a problem with Billings out of there. And he was a really good leader for them too. And of course that'll be missed as well.
And the DeMarcado run never should have happened either.
Oh, I mean, awful!
Right? I mean, that is, you sort of had that lax feel to it as well. So it counts more than the other example you gave, Big Z, but that's of those where guys were just sort of thinking they were going to the locker room. That's the way I saw it, man. How did you see it?
Well, I mean, look, you saw the hole open up from the angle I had where I was seated, and you see the big hole, and you're like, oh, boy. And then you're looking at it, and you've got a red Cardinals jersey on every Bears jersey.
Every Bears
like
jersey.
There's a hat on a hat, and like, oh, wow. Mm. And nobody could fight off the block. And so, yeah, that was problematic. And, you know, they're facing a Patriots offense that isn't explosive this week. I think Drake May has shown some ability, but statistically, you know, New England's been pretty dreadful. The Bears need this to be a bounce back spot. They need to get some confidence back in the building, and then see what they can do when they've got to go head first in the divisional play.
How responsible is Caleb Williams for the offense essentially not working in the last couple of weeks?
Well, everybody's got a part in it. Everybody. Shane Waldron, Caleb, the wide receivers, the offensive line that we've just talked about. I mean, the running backs. Eberflus has got a hand in it. I mean, everybody's got a part in it. But he's, you know, you go back to that Washington game, and really until the fourth quarter, he looked kind of jumpy out there, a little frenetic, not playing in any sort of rhythm. And you know, there were some clear throws from the Arizona game, again, before Wright went out and the pass rush was all over him, where he was missing pretty wide of the mark. And there were some drops in there as well. So, yeah, he's got a hand in this too. You can't look at a struggling passing offense and say, well, quarterback's being hosed by everybody here. No, he's got a part in it too. But the Waldron will talk today. I don't know that we'll hear any solutions or answers. If he had some, they probably would have tried to put him to work by now. But I thought there was a decent chance coming out of that game that they might shift up the play calling. Wow. Because it's just been really disjointed. And you talk to people around the league who, you know, take a look at it, and they not good.
Sacked 6 times in Arizona. He's been sacked 29 times this season. How much of that is learning when to throw it away? And also, are you starting to get this sense? I felt like yesterday at the podium was the first time that I felt like Caleb Williams looked like he was a little beaten up, a little worn down. And I think that's somewhat triggering for Bears fans, because it's something that's happened here. It's sort of a pattern. What do you make of just kind of the way of his demeanor and the way he's handling kind of the negative energy in the building right now?
Yeah, I think he's handling it better than previous quarterbacks have.
Yeah.
And when I say previous quarterbacks, I'm talking plural there, not just one. There's some instances where out of those 29 sacks, you're going to take a fraction of those and you're going to hang them on him because mm-hmm. the ball should have been out or he should have done something clearly different. I think he had gotten away from trying to throw it in reverse to escape pressure in the pocket. And we've seen a couple instances here lately of him trying to do that again. And that doesn't work in the NFL. You can get away with that in college because you're more athletic than most of the other guys on the field. In the NFL, you know, they've got people coming after the quarterback that are more athletic than he is. And so he's got to avoid that. I like how he's wired, and I don't think they're dealing with a problem there. It's just they've got to find something they can hang their hat on in that passing game, and something that can start working. Like this DJ Moore thing is a mystery to me, guys.
Yeah,
you look at he had real fine production against his former team, the Carolina Panthers, 105 yards, the 2 touchdowns. We all saw it. You look at the other 4 games in the stretch here, 22 yards, 20 yards, 27 yards, 33 yards. Like that just doesn't compute. And something's clearly off there. And he's got to get going, right? Yeah, like if it's Keenan Allen, you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, well, he's in year 12 and maybe he's running out of gas and he's in a new place, but like DJ's got to get going. And they just paid him. Like he was super fired up and he's halfway through the season and he's got 374 yards.
Are you ready to move on from all the chatter about, you know, him running out of bounds on that play? He claims he rolled his ankle. What do you make of just kind of his demeanor feels off to me?
Yeah, sure. He rolled his ankle. It doesn't mean it's not a bad look. Right. And because he set out one play and then he ran an over route the play after that. So you can't put that on tape. Like, yeah, that's mm-hmm. a bad look. And, I'm curious if more was made about it in the building than the team has let on, but they need to move on. Yeah, it's just odd. Like it's just another thing in this kind of the struggles that he's having that just seems off. And I don't think it's a disconnect like it's some higher level with Caleb. I wonder if there's a disconnect with Waldron, but hopefully they can start connecting. And you don't need to see him go for $150 twice a month, but you'd like to see him have some games where it's like, okay, 6 catches for 88 yards and a touchdown, and feel like they're being productive, targeting him in the offense, especially for some explosive plays and in the red zone.
Now I want to circle back to what you said about Shane Waldron, that you said, you know, you talk to guys around the league and it's not good. And I think that we as a like Bears fans and maybe to the media to some extent as well, we are scared to death going back to Trubisky and then to Justin Fields. And now Caleb Williams, we are scared to death to blame the quarterback because everybody wants the quarterback to be good, right? So then we turn to the offensive coordinator. But what are you hearing, and what specifically do you think Shane Waldron is doing wrong and evidently not putting the players in a position to succeed? Why is he not getting a pass and the quarterbacks usually do, at least early on in their 10 years with the Bears?
Well, the quarterbacks always get – like that's the last thing people want to admit to be off here. And I'm not saying Caleb is off here, but you see it – you saw it with Mitch. You really saw it with Justin. And I think when people I've talked to that have watched them play, look at it, and they see a series of play calls. Like, they don't see a plan. They don't see, okay, here was the clear strategy. Like, and people who do this for a living, like, they can pick up on it, right? They could say, oh, all right, well, this was the opponent. Here's what they were trying to do. And it's seemingly more difficult to determine for these folks when they're looking at Waldron, and obviously what they're doing is not clicking with a whole lot of success. You know, you've got talented skill position people, DJ, Rome, Cole, Keenan, DeAndre Swift. There's no valid explanation for the inability to get more production out of them. Are you going to have one or two guys each week where you're like, well, boy, they didn't do a lot with him? Yeah, there's only one football, right? You can only use it so many different ways when you're getting 60 to 65, if you're lucky, maybe 70 snaps a game. But just kind of looks like a hodgepodge. And the offensive line issues are part of it. There's a learning curve, and you expect some challenges with a rookie quarterback. But I think what Waldron's done has been clearly underwhelming to this point.
What do you make of Cole Kmet disappearing in this offense? I mean, this just seems to me like an easy answer of, we got to get something going. Let's get the ball to Cole. Like, that to me is just
quarterback's best friend, right?
Yeah, that's supposed to be.
After the running game, right? The quarterback's next best friend is probably that big, reliable target that's there in the middle of the field, right? And that's what Cole is. I said this, Ruthie, the other day. They had they'd done a really nice job getting him a ghost outfit for Halloween, and he wore it, you know, instead of wearing it the once, he wore it twice. It just doesn't add up. I mean, is Cole going to be out there and be the most dynamic pass catching tight end in the league? No, and he would never claim to be that guy. But he's pretty darn good, and he's got some ability after the catch. And I'm sure he's been the primary read on more than one play in the last two games, and for a variety of reasons, the ball hasn't come his way. But that's just the kind of thing that you look at and it sticks. There's too many things that stick out and look obtuse. When Cole was outplayed in terms of snap count by Gerald Everett in the opener, and now he's not getting the ball, and you're seeing what's going on with DJ, I'm looking at it and I'm saying, boy, I don't know what the plan is. I have a very difficult time believing at this point the players have huge buy-in in what they're doing, because it doesn't seem to be working. Maybe they go out Sunday and they put it together. Maybe they can get a touchdown in the first quarter, establish some run-pass balance against the Patriots, and get on track, because they really need to at this midpoint in the season before this schedule turns pretty difficult against some talented divisional opponents.
I know it sounds like that maybe it would be wise for the Bears to change play caller, but there's no way they're going to do that this year. Would they, Biggs, just because?
I think it would probably, my guess would be Thomas Brown, the passing game coordinator. It's a last ditch effort, right? That's a last ditch effort. And they're 4-4 right now. So they're a 60-minute game away from being above 500 with some frustrating losses mixed in there. With the inability to this point to really do anything when they travel away from Soldier Field, but get to 5-4, and see what you can do. Like, you've got two home games coming up after that. Maybe they can put something together here, because they've got the talent to be competitive against these good teams. they've just got to go out and find a way to win. They, you know, but we can't keep hearing them talk about the meetings they're having. Like, I don't know that they have more meetings than all these other teams. I do know that they talk about their meetings more than anyone else.
That's right. Lead the league in meetings.
Yes. Yeah. I've just been talking
about the meetings. Like,
It's
talking about, like, okay, that's great. Right. Like, we had a meeting at work today too.
Right.
Cool.
It's the Monday after a game. You probably should have a meeting. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So
TCB taking care of business. Biggs, this was great, man. We'll see you out at the hall. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Biggs.
All right, thanks. You guys have a great day.
Yeah, you too. That is Brad Biggs from the Chicago Tribune. Always good stuff.